to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As South Dakota farmers and producers contemplate everything from international trade to anthrax, the South Dakota Governor's Ag Summit is set to convene. It's a convention that brings together leaders in business, finance, education, government, and production agriculture to showcase the impact of ag on South Dakota's economic development. Dustin Otakovin is interim South Dakota State Secretary of Agriculture. He's joining us now on the phone from Pierre with an overview of the Ag Summit, which is July 11th and 12th. Dr. Otakovin, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Lori. Thank you.
Let's start with a brief overview of who comes to the people come from all over the state.
They do. Yes, this is the ninth Governor's Ag Summit. It started in 2010 under then Governor Rounds, and over the years, we've seen a variety of different folks from livestock producers, farmers, agribusiness folks, bankers, anyone in with an interest in agriculture and the agricultural industry in our state.
Are there, is it a similar conference each year, or do you look at overall themes and sort of changing it up, or is it something that every year we just need an update on the same things that we're all talking about?
You know, it does change from year to year, and the planning process that goes into that is based on the feedback that that's received after each Governor's Ag Summit. This year, we've got some different panels, an ag economic update, which is a I think the second year we've done this panel specifically. But I think people are always interested to hear what's the you know, what's the current outlook on the ag economy, and what are the factors that are, you know, that are part of that. We've also got an update on forestry in the Black Hills, and as this year's Ag Summit will be out in the Rapid City area, that seems to be a good topic to have while we're out in that area. So it varies from year to year, and we've got some exciting topics on the agenda this year.
Give me an idea what some of those individual topics are. That when you break it down to some smaller parts.
Sure. Well, to begin things, we'll start with a tour of the 777 Bison Ranch on Wednesday morning, and Mimi Hillenbrand and Moritz SB down there in at the 777 Ranch will be our hosts. As you may know, South Dakota is the number one producer of bison in the U.S., and so fitting for us to take a tour of that bison ranch. Then in the afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, we'll have that Ag Economics Forum, followed by a producer panel, and we'll have some updates from local livestock producers on some of their efforts to market their products locally, some of the challenges and opportunities that that are out there for that local ag market. And then Thursday, we have the forestry panel that I mentioned, some of the ongoing opportunities for the forestry industry in our state, which is a growing ag commodity in our state, especially western South Dakota. And then in the later Thursday morning, Governor Dugard will moderate a panel on pollinators in South Dakota. So they're think bees, but what you know, again, honey, the honey industry in South Dakota is large, and of course dependent on those pollinators. And so, talking about habitat that is beneficial to those pollinators, and how that might benefit other aspects of agriculture. So, really, some interesting topics to cover over the course of the couple of days. And then Thursday afternoon, we'll be having the Governor's Ag Ambassador Luncheon, where the governor will present an award to someone who, you know, has contributed to agriculture in South Dakota. And we've had, you know, individuals as well as organizations who have been recipients of that award in past years. And so that's always a fun event to celebrate someone or an organization who is who has contributed to agriculture.
Hmm. How many people usually come? I mean, is this people come from out the state? Is it difficult to get away at this time of the year? Is it this is a good time to do that?
Well, I think, Lori, when you talk to especially people in agriculture, there's never a good time
right.
for a meeting. But, you know, it's worth doing. It's so dependent on a number of things, location being one. You know, having it out west in Rapid City, I think, is a treat, but we probably get a little better attendance out east. And then, you know, this year we have had some interesting weather patterns across the state, and particularly in the eastern side where planting took place a little later, maybe a little more difficult to get folks there. So I think, you know, it's actually kind of looking like our numbers are down a little bit this year, but it has ranged from, you know, a little over 100 to well over 200 people that will be in attendance. And so we'll see what we get this year. We've got a good number of folks that are pre-registered, and there's still room for
there's
people to register.
There's still time, right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
The other thing is, as you know, we'll be South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We'll have this live streaming starting at 1:45 on Wednesday, July 11th, and again all day on July 12th. So that's an option also.
Yes, you can go, and we'll put a link up on our website after the show, but you can also go straight to sdagsummit.com and find that link for when SDPB goes live, bringing that coverage from Rapid City. What are some of the international trade and tariffs must be something that you anticipate people are going to be talking about? Anthrax, it must be something you anticipate people are going to be talking about. Are there other topics that that you really feel will, you know, dominate the time?
Well, you know, certainly the trade issue, I think, is on everyone's mind, and how will that impact, you know, the producers in South Dakota? What will that look like? And I think, you know, at this point, there's a lot of speculation on,
right.
on just what that will equate to for you know, in real life. But certainly, I think some of that may come up in those discussions on the current ag economy and the outlook for that. So, but I'm hopeful we'll have some more discussion on the opportunities for local ag marketing. That's you know, it's sometimes not thought of as mainstream ag anymore. You know, we've got a lot of folks that are marketing into those kind of more traditional standard markets that everybody's able to market their crops or livestock into. But there is a growing market for local foods, and you know, we have a number of small meat processors across the state that work together with local livestock producers to develop those local markets. We're going to hear from someone who has worked to get local foods into their schools, into their local schools.
Wow.
And and there are some economic and regulatory challenges to those opportunities, and so I'm hopeful we can get some updates on that and find out where the opportunities and challenges are.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is Dr. Dustin Odekoven. He's the Interim Secretary of Agriculture for South Dakota and also the state veterinarian, and we're talking about the South Dakota Governor's Agriculture Summit, which is coming up on July 11th and 12th. You can find more at sdagsummit.com. And Dr. Odekoven, let's talk a little bit about anthrax and the update of just give people a quick overview if they've sort of missed the news.
Sure. Well, you know, it probably doesn't catch anybody by surprise that we do occasionally experience anthrax infection in livestock in South Dakota. We seem to have the right soil type, an alkaline type soil that the anthrax bacteria lives in a spore form. And it survives quite well in the environment for many, many years. And so occasionally, especially when the temperature and the humidity seem to be just right, and there may be other climatic factors such as flooding or drought, and this year we've had a lot of rainfall, so a lot of runoff, the potential for exposure of those spores that are living in the soil to be exposed to grazing livestock is there. And because of that, we've seen three cattle herds infected with anthrax this year, one in Clark County and two in Bonham County. And you know, the good news is there is a very effective and relatively inexpensive vaccine for livestock that will help protect them from that. And it's one that I recommend anyone in livestock production visit with their local veterinarian about, you know, when to use that and considering that as a standard in their vaccination program. But when we identify anthrax in a herd of livestock, and in these cases they've been cattle, typically there are very little signs ahead of time. What we usually see is just a large number of animals that just die suddenly. The toxins that are produced by that anthrax bacteria are rapid. They're fast acting, and it causes death loss in a very short period of time. So when we have that sort of scenario, we encourage people to visit with their veterinarian. The veterinarian will usually collect samples, take them to the veterinary diagnostic lab in Brookings, and once we get a confirmation that that is what the cause of the death loss is, we work closely with the veterinarian and the producer to ensure that those carcasses are properly disposed of so we can prevent the further spread of that disease to other herds.
So do I understand this correctly, that you might not even know it's there until an animal dies?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's typically the first sign that a herd owner may notice, is just they had, you know, multiple deaths all at once, seemingly overnight. And so, and there are other things that can cause that. But that is on the rule out list, especially this time of year when we have the high heat and humidity. And that's something to look for.
So if properly managed, it's not going to spread to different parts in the state, except now you know that it's, you know, in the environment, right? So vaccination becomes key.
Right. And in those areas where it's been identified, that's, you know, we really highly recommend that that everyone in that area continue to vaccinate against anthrax for several years. In fact, we just don't know how long it can live in the soil, perhaps 80 to 100 years. And so anyone who has livestock in an area where anthrax has previously occurred really should be vaccinating their herd against anthrax.
Consumers have nothing to worry about. Why?
Yeah, that's correct. Really, this disease, it affects animals so acutely that it doesn't have a chance to, you know, to contaminate any of the meat products. And, you know, another thing that we have in place is we really have a fantastic food safety system in our country. Every animal that is presented for harvest is looked at by a veterinarian or an inspector to make sure that those animals are healthy, not showing signs of contagious disease, not from a herd that's ill. And so when those animals go through for processing, they're screened pretty heavily there, and then all the way through the processing system to ensure a safe and wholesome product is presented to the public. So yeah, no food safety concern with this disease.
Dr. Otakovin, what about just the heat? And we talk about livestock and herds, you know, dying suddenly. You said there's other reasons. I'm guessing the heat index is something also to be watched in South Dakota at this time of year.
Yeah, this time of year is definitely, you know, we're fortunate here in South Dakota. We have to kind of remember back a few months when we had snow and a few months before that. When
I haven't really forgotten the snow.
maybe we have to enjoy these warm days, but it is a time of year where the heat index can really take its toll on livestock and other, you know, and pets as well. And there are several good heat index maps available on the internet to pay attention to and be aware of, the potential for heat stress, especially in livestock that are concentrated in you know, feeding operations. Typically, we want to do everything we can to ensure that when that heat index is high, you know, we've got those comforts in place for the livestock. The problem is that if the temperature and the humidity stays high, and they don't have a chance to dissipate the heat that they build up over the daytime, then they can be subject to heat stress, and that can that can cause all kinds of production issues, but even death loss. So, so typically we're making sure that you know, there's no obstruction to a breeze. You know, a breeze, some airflow is good. Sometimes people have sprinklers in place to help cool the livestock, and then there might be some thought towards altering that feeding schedule so that you know, the heat from metabolism from digestion happens over the night in the cooler cooler hours. So a number of things that people can do, and certainly those resources are out there, and this is the time of year to be thinking of those things.
Dr. Odakovin, thank you so much for being here with us today. So much more to talk about, so we hope you'll come back in the future.
Very good. Thank you, Lori.
Dustin Odakovin is the Interim Secretary of Agriculture, and he's the state veterinarian. The Governor's Ag Summit is live on SDPB. That starts at 1:45 p.m. on July 11th. It continues again at 8 a.m. on July 12th. You can watch it live as it goes on.